Looks like the sun went behind a cloud for a few minutes. What's the temperature out there? It's hot. It's Florida, right? We got any visitors from out of the state? See a few hands. Anybody here from Canada? I know you are. We get Canadians all the time, don't we? Well, folks, if you look in your schedule, see we had a really interesting group called Trefoil that was going to come out, and unfortunately they're not able to be with us this afternoon. Busy doing other stuff around the festival. One of their main participants is a sound man here, and boy, don't we need that. If we couldn't enjoy all this wonderful music and entertainment, if we didn't have this good sound help that we've got. Yeah, let's give them a hand. You know what? You couldn't sit up under those comfortable shady trees if we didn't have good sound. You'd all be down here rubbing up against each other and sweating next to the stage just trying to hear what was going on. And I know you want to hear this next act that we're going to show you. We're very delighted that we're able to get her to fill in for Trefoil. This is Kate Taluga. She's a storyteller and a dancer from Tallahassee.
Hello. I'm so glad to see everyone here. I'm going to step back from this mic just a second to let my friends who might be wandering around know where I am. One moment. Now, those that weren't listening before, if they're up in the vending area, will know that they need to perk their ears so that they can hear the story I'm about to tell you. I've been training for a long time now with a group of Seminole and Creek storytellers, and I feel very honored to bring you one of the stories that they have taught me. One day, Wolf and Rabbit were walking down the road when they saw a big veranda with two of the finest, prettiest women a man could ever want to hold. "Ooh-wee," Wolf said to Rabbit. "Do you see that one?"
"Oh, yeah," said Rabbit. "Let's go introduce ourselves."
So they walked right up to that front gate, and they swung it open, and they said, "Hey, girls." And the girls said, "Hey, y'all, would you like a little lemonade?"
"Oh, yes," they said.
And so they went on up to the porch, and Wolf, he was the first one up the porch. He slid right in on the porch swing, put his arms around each of those girls and swung back and forth and back and forth.
But Rabbit had to sit in the rocking chair and he swung back and forth too, a back and forth and a back and a forth,
watching Wolf whispering first to the one, "Hey, how are you?" and sweet little nothings in her ear, and then to the other, "Isn't the weather hot today?"
And both girls just fanning away going, back and forth on the porch swing. Well, Rabbit did not like this at all. He hated it, in fact, and he said, "I tell you what, I think it's time for us to go get supper. Mama will have it ready for us." And Wolf said, "What you talking about? I ate your mama's cooking before. I ain't going to your house for dinner. I know better." He said, "No, Mama will have our dinner. We've got to go right now." And Rabbit got up. And Wolf, being a good friend, could tell that his friend was upset. And so he left the front porch and followed him out, going, "What is the matter with you? Those are two of the finest girls we've ever seen in our whole life. What are we going home for now?"
"Shh," said Rabbit. "We're going. That's just all there is to it. Mama's going to have supper ready." And then he went, "Oh, I forgot something." And he raced back as fast as he could to the front porch. And he hopped over the fence, and he came up the steps, and he said, "Girls!" And they had been sitting there fanning themselves, talking about, "Wasn't that Wolf nice?
Yes, he slid his hand on my knee. Mine too. Well,
When up comes Rabbit. "What is it, Rabbit? What do you want?" He said, "Well,
I know you thought that was a wolf that was with me, but it wasn't. It's my old horse. What you talking about? Our mama told us what a wolf looks like. We know what a wolf is. That was a wolf. Nope, it was my old horse. And I'll prove it so tomorrow when I come back. And Rabbit took off down the road, caught up with Wolf. And the next day, Wolf came a-knocking at the door. And Rabbit went, oh! Wolf said, oh, what's wrong with you?
He said, oh, I'm so sick. My stomach hurts so bad. It must have been something I ate.
Yeah, I ate your mama's cooking before, too.
Oh, I can't go with you, Wolf. You'll have to go by yourself.
What you talking about? I can't go by myself. There's two girls there.
Oh, you did just fine with them yesterday.
Yeah, but I had a little more in mind for today. I'm good, but I can't handle two of them by myself.
Oh, well, I can't go with you. I'm just too weak. I couldn't even begin to walk all that way down the road to those girls' house.
Hmm, thought Wolf.
I tell you what, I'll carry your piggyback on my back. Oh, would you, said Rabbit. That might be not, no. You see, I'm so weak I wouldn't be able to hold round your neck. So I couldn't go with you unless you were willing to wear a saddle.
A saddle? You want me to put a saddle on my back?
Well, yes. That is, if you want me to go with you.
Well, I just don't think I could wear a saddle on my back. Can't you hold on?
No, I'm just so weak.
All right, I'll put a saddle on my back. And a bit and a bridle?
A bit and a bridle? You got to be kidding. I ain't putting no bit and bridle in my mouth. Well, then I guess I won't be able to go with you.
Well, okay. So Wolf, he went off and he found a saddle, a bit, and a bridle. And Rabbit, he put on his fanciest pants and a nice vest. And he combed his ears up tall so all the hair was going in the right direction. Not like mine today. And then he put one spur in one pocket and one spur in the other pocket and got himself an old blanket. Well, when Wolf came back up to the door, Rabbit hobbled outside. Oh, I just feel so bad. And Wolf, he got down on all fours, and Rabbit got up on him and put his feet in the stirrups, picked up the reins, and he said, giddy up. Right, said Wolf. And Wolf started down the road, just walking at a nice, easy pace. But then Rabbit said, oh, you could go a little faster. So Wolf picked up the pace just a little bit more. And Rabbit said, you could go faster than that. And so Wolf picked up the pace till he had a nice little brisk walk, and he was sort of feeling pretty good, even if he was looking like a horse. And he was going down the road just carrying his friends when Rabbit was a-wiggling up on top of him. First he took out one spur, then he took out the other spur. Now, Wolf kept feeling that up there. He said, Rabbit, sit yourself still up on my back. I can't go very well if you do that. And Rabbit says, let's see how fast you can go now. And he dug in the spurs. Oh, 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 oh. And that wolf was a-hunching and a-bunching and a-hunching and a-bunching and a-zigging and a-zagging going down the trail straight past those girls' house. And when he did, Rabbit hopped off and went through the gate. And Wolf saw where he was. He took his tail and he tucked it between his legs and he went right slinking off into the woods. Rabbit, he walked right up there onto that front porch, sat down on the swing, put one arm around one girl, one arm around the other girl, and said, see, I told you it was my old horse.
We're trying to keep all the stages on time. I don't know if you've ever been here for a Florida Folklife Festival, but as the day wears on and people come this way and that way, sometimes the stages linger a little long. Like, I think we left the main stage at 12 last night, maybe 12:30, somewhere in there, but it was well worth every minute we were here. This next story, yeah, you were here too, weren't you? This next story is a story about a lover. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine the scene unfolding in your head. The snow is drifting down. Imagine that snow real good now. Think about those little snow ice things that you're eating in your hands and feel that coolness slip sliding down your throat. And imagine a blizzard whirling around you. The snow is blowing and the winds are hard and you're on a moor. There were two brothers on the moor, elder brother and younger brother. And younger brother saw that his dogs were barking. Something was in the bushes. And he said to his elder brother, "What do you think is causing that? Why are my dogs attracted to that bush?" And elder brother said, "I don't know. I don't care." And he wrapped his cloak around him. And he says, "We have to get back to the house." For elder brother lived in a warm brick home. But younger brother lived in a hovel. Elder brother said, "Let's get back to the house. My wife, my children are there." But younger brother did not have a wife. He longed for a wife. He longed for a woman who would love him all the days of his life. But he did not have that either. "Hurry, hurry, hurry," said elder brother. But younger brother was attracted to his dogs. And when he looked inside the bushes there, he saw lying a woman whose skin was so translucent he could see the blood in her veins as it pumped from her heart. But she did not stir. Her eyes were closed, and it seemed that she was frozen. So younger brother picked her up in his arms, and she was as light as a feather. And he called up his three dogs. He had a black big dog and a brown medium dog and a golden little dog that had deep brown eyes and little curly hairs. And he took that dog with him and he went back to his house. And he laid the beautiful maiden there on his own bed. Usually he would only light a few faggots in his hearth every night to bring him warmth. But that night, he built a blazing fire, and he rubbed her arms, and he rubbed her legs, and he rubbed her cheeks, trying to bring life back into the cold, frozen limbs. He could feel just the faintest stir of breath when he would place his ear next to her nose. But she did not open her eyes. She did not stir. And finally, he laid down in front of the hearth and closed his eyes and slept. The big black dog curled up at the foot of the bed. The medium dog jumped up and lay down the length of her back. And the little golden dog went and laid at her head. And all night long, they tried to warm the frozen maiden. The next day was much the same as the first, and the next, and the next. And on the fourth night, younger brother sat there, rubbing her hands till his own hands were so tired he could not rub any longer. And he looked down at her, and a tear flowed down his cheek, and he said, "Oh,
Oh, but that you could awaken, for I love you so much.
Then he lay down in front of the hearth, and he himself went to sleep. The big dog lay at the foot. The medium dog lay along her back, and the little dog laid at her head, and she opened her eyes, and she stirred, and she moved, and she went to the doorway, and she called up the big dog. She said, I want you to go to Elder Brother's house. Bring me back the coal from his hearth. And so the dog raced off and came back with a hot coal from the fire, which he spat out on the dying fire of younger brother. It blazed up and filled the house with light and energy. Then she called to the medium-sized dog. Come here. I want you to go out to where the bush is that you found me at. Bring me back a branch from that bush. And so he too raced out into the night and came back with the branch. It was black and lifeless, not a green leaf on it. And she laid that very gently in the bed. Then she called to the youngest dog, the small little golden dog with the deep brown eyes. Come here. Your job is harder than all the rest. And she, wearing only her translucent gown, went out the doorway, into the snows, and across the moor, back to where the dogs had originally found her. And the little dog followed after, waiting anxiously for what her job would be. When they got to the bush, the young woman said, you have the hardest job, for now you must kill me. And the little dog looked up at her. Its eyes grew big. It began to whimper. How could he kill the beloved of his master? And she said, no, you must do this for me. You must do this. And she laid bare her neck right there. And the little dog reached over and bit into her neck and broke the jugular vein. And when she opened her eyes, there, right there, transforming, was the maiden turned snow goose who flew into the sky. And when the snow goose looked down, there was a beautiful maiden with golden curls and big brown eyes. Now, younger brother was awakened that morning by a pounding on the door. Younger brother, let me in. My house is cold. My hearth has ice on it. I cannot warm my children and my wife. You must come and help me. And younger brother jumped up from his own hearth, and he ran out the door, and he followed his brother. And he too tried to light the fire. But there would not be a fire in that hearth, no matter how many sparks they started. And elder brother's wife said, oh, we are bewitched. And they were. And then younger brother went back to his own house, and he went to the young maid in the bed, but she was not there. No. Just a cold, lifeless, black branch. And he began to cry, and his tears fell onto the branch. And a bud appeared, and then another that unfolded to make beautiful green leaves. And then tendrils formed, and they filled the house, and they covered over the doorway, and they bloomed roses. And younger brother looked into the doorway, and there standing was a beautiful maiden with golden curls and brown eyes. And he said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I am your companion. I have loved you always, and I will love you forever."
Ready?
We have time for a very short story. This is a very true story. For if you know me well and you listen to my storytelling tape, Dance with a Glad Heart, you will find that I dance and I tell stories, and sometimes they combine. I didn't used to combine stories until this one truly happened to me. One New Year's Eve, my husband of that time asked me if I would like to go out. Now, we had not been out in 14 years. And I said, "Okay," a little hesitantly. And I had noticed that a wonderful bluegrass band, the Cypress Creek Band, was playing at a little sandwich shop. Now, I dance, but my ex did not. And he was not really willing to learn. And so we went to this little sandwich shop that had a dance floor all of this big. And he said, "Good, I don't have to dance." And there were pool tables there, and there was beer to be drunk, and so he began to drink his beer, and I my iced tea, for I was the designated driver for the evening. And the band came in, and they said, "Kate, we haven't seen you in oh so long. Where have you been, girl?" And I said, "Well, I've been around." And they said, "You've been dancing that old-time stuff, haven't you?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I have." And they said, "Well, we're going to play for you tonight. What kind of song would you like to hear?" And I said, "Well, you know, to tell you the honest truth, I'm here with my husband." "You're married?" "Yeah." "How long have you been married?" "Oh, about 14 years. "Really? We never knew that about you." Not many did. At any rate, they began to play tunes, and they played a little rock and roll and a little country western, and they worked themselves up into this little slow dance around in a tight little circle with your girlfriend kind of tune. And I looked over at my ex and I said, "Would you like to dance?" And he said, "No, I told you I wasn't going to dance with you." And I said, "Okay." And I sat there, but the next tune was a Saturday night breakdown tune, and I knew they were playing it just for me. I mean to tell you, they were going on the Orange Blossom special, and they were getting into the fiddle part. And my feet could not contain themselves. My spine was vibrating, and I had to get up, and I looked, and there on the dance floor was a single man, clogging full tilt. And I looked at my ex and I said, "Do you mind if I dance with that man? You mean I've danced a lot of times by myself, and he looks like he could use a partner like me." And he said, "I don't care, as long as you don't make me dance with you." And I jumped up, and I was going full tilt, and he was going full tilt, and we were just a clogging away, and our eyes met. And we were right there with one another, and our smiles broke out into huge grins, and it was absolutely electrifying. It was so electrifying that the crowd began to go, "Yeah, go for it, go, go, go," as they will do. And the band, who drives off of dancers, went, "Yeah, yes." And we were hitting a place somewhere around Nirvana. I knew I was gonna make it in this dance, when all of a sudden he fell back towards the banjo player, and the banjo player pushed him off of him, and he landed face down on my right foot while my left kept time. I thought he was drunk. Everybody else thought he was drunk. They pulled him up and they set him up on a bar stool, and the band finished the tune, and I sort of clip-clopped over to my bar stool and sat down, and my ex looked at me and he said, "Now you know why I don't dance with you." And I said, yeah. And the band stopped. And they said, is he okay? And someone leaned over. And they realized he was not breathing. They said, I don't think so. They laid him out on the floor, and two emergency room nurses jumped up, and they began mouth to mouth. And someone else began CPR. But that man, Ken, died that night. Now, the band looked at me, and I looked at the band. They said, now what do we do? You know, it's like 10 minutes before New Year's. And I said, I don't know what we do. This has never happened to me before. They said, it's never happened to us either, Kate. And we all, as an audience and as musicians, decided to sing, will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a brighter heaven awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. And we sang in the new year. Now, it took me a few weeks to try and process that death. And I remembered a dancer who spent many afternoons sitting out there just like you are right now. Rosemary Wilkie was her name. And she had passed from our dance community the August before. And as I took on the images of that night and that magical, almost nirvana, I saw Rosemary, Angel Rosemary, reach down and say, come dance with the universe once more.
Thank you. That's Kate Taluga from Tallahassee. What wonderful storytelling. What an example of this year's theme at the festival.